Welcome to the Are Your Hands Full podcast, a step-by-step parenting podcast for your Jewish family. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Please check out the most recent Are Your Hands Full download at www.handsfullchinuch.com. That's handsfullchinuch.com. Welcome to Lecture 9. I hope you're all enjoying this series and the topics that we are exploring. Please feel free to ask any questions that you have about parenting and behavior management of children with special needs by calling in and leaving a recording of your question. I'll be happy to address them in the order that they arrive to me. Just to recap, so far we've discussed the chicken-egg-chicken question of what comes first, behavior or emotions. We've discussed how to manage doctors' predictions. We've also discussed ignore negative behaviors, INB, and separate without comment, SWC. We've discussed adolescence. We've discussed preemies. We discussed the 40-day building blocks to structure, persistence, consistency, and growth. And last time, we did a discussion about normal sibling rivalry in preparation for today's discussion. So now that you've gotten the general drift of what emotional traffic, so to speak, goes on between siblings who are developing typically, it's time to complicate things by adding a child with special needs into the mix. I'm going to start off this discussion by telling you that my children, who are siblings of a child with special needs, are presently, Baruch Hashem, happily married, highly successful, Baruch Hashem, emotionally healthy, Baruch Hashem, and have only the fondest things to say about their sister, who is now a 40-year-old adult, who although has mastered many wonderful skills in her life, is still not the same as they are. I can only flashback to 40 years ago, when society in general was so terribly frightened of keeping a special needs child at home. The fears included contagion, that the other kids would become deaf or blind or develop Down syndrome. I'm not quite sure how that works, but whatever. Another fear was emotional damage, that the children who are developing normally would become emotionally damaged from being exposed to someone with special needs. And most importantly, of course, was the fear of being stigmatized, the fear of being labeled, the fear of being ostracized or put into some sort of cherem. So when I entered the world of special needs 40 years ago, these fears were all over the place. They were very real, very prevalent. There was no sense that anything could be normal about a child with special needs or their siblings. No sense that a child with special needs could be loved or could enhance or improve the family status in any way. The belief system was that having a child with special needs in your home was a recipe for disaster, the fastest way to destruction, and would ultimately destroy anything good in your life. Boy, oh boy, have we come a long way. Fast forwarding 40 years, I think most of you know that such predictions are the furthest thing from the truth. But back then, I had no one to tell me that. So I hung on to simple knowledge, emuna pshuta. It didn't make sense to me that something that the Ribbono Shel Olam made could be a faulty product. As I've said before, Hanes makes irregular underwear and sells it. But our perfect Ribbono Shel Olam makes everything perfect. So I reasoned with myself that if I truly believe that Hashem knows exactly what he's doing and doesn't make mistakes, then it's certainly no mistake that my daughter was born into my family and that my other children were also born into my family. So I set out to figure out a way to keep the family balanced and raise Rachi at the same time. Obviously, this wasn't the easiest job on earth, to say the least, but we all have to remember that good and easy don't mean the same thing. We also have to remember that bad and hard don't mean the same thing, right? So once you have gotten the sense that it is taka best for your children to be exposed to the enriching experience of giving to others, you will find the benefits to be simply fantastic. For starters, your children will learn that they were not created to be center stage. Unfortunately, too many parents worship their children during the early years of their development and treat them like royalty to the extent that these children don't develop the perspective that other people exist on this world and also have needs. Under normal circumstances, as each younger sibling is brought into the home, children learn to step aside just a bit and make room for someone else. This is a critical life skill that makes us all into mention and allows us to become wonderful contributors to Klal Yisrael. The youngest in every family who is never asked to step aside for the benefit of others will often learn that skill in school or at camp or with cousins or best of all with nieces and nephews. No matter in what context it happens, it must happen, because we don't want to come in contact with adults who cannot step aside and take perspective of someone else's needs, feelings, or circumstances. So overall, siblings are a wonderful thing. Now let's add some delicious spice to this recipe. What happens to a child if they need to step aside for someone else who is not their equal? For someone else who needs more care than they do? For someone else who has to work harder than they do to accomplish the same thing? For someone else who others might make negative comments about? For someone else who might need to go through painful procedures or surgeries which causes extra fear? For someone who takes more of their mother's attention than his or her perceived fair share? What happens to such a child who is normally developing? If handled correctly, such a child grows much taller and much stronger because these difficulties are introduced early in life and faced during the formative years. And we know that similar to music or sports or languages, any skill that is taught to a child while they are young will last a lifetime. So you're listening to all of this and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, very funny, Dr. Yaris Lovitz. Do you have any idea how hard it is for my 9-year-old when we go on a Chol HaMoed trip and we have my 4-year-old with Down syndrome with us? I'm not a fool. I see her checking around every minute to see who's noticing. Or I see right through her when she pressures me to make sure that my 4-year-old is always clean and dressed perfectly. I see the pain. And my answer to you is, yes, of course. I know the pain. I know the difficulty. I watched my children go through it, and I found the result to be simply fantastic as long as you know what you're doing and handle things correctly. So how am I supposed to handle this, you ask? I'm going to list a bunch of thoughts, concepts, and tips that will put you in the proper perspective. You ready? Here we go. 1. Never indicate to a child who is developing normally that they should be thankful or feel any other emotion, particularly guilt, that they were created normal or healthy while their sibling was not. Although in theory we always teach children to be thankful for their health, your children who are developing typically are already getting this lesson on a daily basis and don't need any additional verbal help from you. The last thing we want to do to a child who is growing up in close proximity to a child with special needs is to cause them to feel guilty for their health or frightened that they too, Chalila, will lose theirs. If a child does initiate such a conversation with you where they express such guilt or fear, do your best to dispel it. Say things like, Hashem has his own private cheshbon with each of his creations. He wants you to be this way. And he wants him or her, referring to the child with special needs, to be that way. Or you can say, we never know why Hashem makes each of us the way he does. But I tell you this, he wants different things from you than he wants from her or him. 2, understand that the same rules of sibling rivalry apply between siblings, one of which is developing normally and one who is not. So do your best to follow the same rules by staying out of their fights, doing your best to let them work things out themselves, and not taking sides. Number three, if one particular child who is developing typically harbors resentment toward the child with special needs beyond the sibling rivalry that is supposed to exist, make it your priority to give that child who is normally developing time alone with you. Remember that in general, our children are thing rich and time poor. That means that we buy them lots and lots of things, but we unfortunately don't spend enough time with them. Our children don't really need our things. I mean, they do occasionally, but they don't really need to be drowned in things. Time alone with a child will go a lot further in helping a child who is developing normally feel special and loved. And when you do go out with such a child, be sure to say things like, "I love spending time alone with you," to this child so that this child knows how much you truly value the time. And don't forget, leave your phone either at home or in your pocketbook. Quality time means exactly that, quality time. You're not spending it on the phone. Number four, while I was working on putting together this lecture, I called one of my children who grew up with my Rachi. She was very close in age to her, so literally her entire childhood was spent watching a sister with special needs be raised. She never exhibited any resentment toward her sister. In fact, she was wonderful to her and was always proud of her. I guess I was very gebenched in this way, but I called her up anyway. She now has Kananahara 8 kids, and I asked her this question. How did I make you feel important while you and Rachi were growing up? What did I do? I'm putting together a lecture for Hamaspik. What would you say? So I listened very carefully to her first response, and here's what she said. You probably guessed it. You took me to a lot of places. That's the first thing she said. Then she said, whenever I wanted to go or come to or from a friend, you were always available to pick me up no matter what time of day or night. Okay, that makes sense. Time. But now here comes another one. That does speak to the value of time, but it also speaks to the value of an item. Here it goes. I asked her, can you think of one particular moment where you felt special and important? And she said, I remember there was a time that Rachi had surgery in Boston, and you were there for 10 days. Remember? Yeah, sure, I remember. How could I forget? And you arranged for Uncle Shaya and Tante Miriam to drive me all the way to Boston to spend the day with you, and you took me out. And you also took me to the gift shop in Boston Children's Hospital, and all the prices in the gift shop were ridiculously expensive. And I set my eyes on a black stuffed cat, and it was $100. And you bought it for me, even though it was $100. And then she tells me, and this I knew already, you know, I still have that stuffed cat. I know, I've seen it in her playroom. She said, I would never give it away. Now, just for your information, that cat was bought in 1998, which makes that cat 25 years old. So as I hung up the phone from her, I couldn't help but think, if she chose that day out with me and the purchase of the stuffed cat as the one story that stood out in all her years of growing up with Rachi, then this is proof that there must be some times when an object can have an emotional impact and significance on a child. I guess it depends on how, when, and under what circumstances the item is purchased, but particularly, I think, if it's coupled with time, quality time, indications that I missed her and that I wanted to see her, obviously that all got wrapped up into this stuffed cat, and that's why she can't let go of it. Number five, try, if possible, to minimize the amount of public conversations that you have about your child with special needs in front of all your other children. Obviously, you do have to take phone calls from teachers and therapists and doctors, but try, if you can, to curb all other calls. On the same token, Your children should see that you love your child with special needs, and they should rejoice at every accomplishment that they master. So it's also okay from time to time for them to hear you tell your mother, mother-in-law about the latest chachma or milestone, but keep it balanced. Number 6, be the best role model you can be. This means that although there will be times where you will feel sad or worried, distressed, frustrated, or unsure of yourself as you travel the journey of raising a child with special needs, your other children should not have to participate to the point where they have to carry the load. Remember, the child with special needs is your child. The child with special needs is not their child. They should not be asked to shoulder any extra emotional or physical responsibility for your child with special needs beyond what you would ask any sibling to provide for a sibling who is developing normally. So, for example, if your high school girl is part of a chesed project that involves delivering packages in hospitals, don't say to her, "I need your help here. Why are you doing chesed for others? Charity begins at home." Although the expression "charity begins at home" is true, let's not carry out this truth on the back of your child who needs to develop social and emotional skills that are part of doing high school projects with her friends. Number 7, don't overcompensate and indulge siblings of children with special needs. I believe that these children need to feel as normal as possible, and overdoing it magnifies their difficulty. Although we do some extras for these kids to balance the situation in the home, overdoing it makes them different again, this time on the other side of the coin. So just to review, if you're concerned that your children who are developing normally will be under-recognized at home because of the stresses and pressures involved in having a child with special needs, by all means, compensate the bare minimum that is necessary to even out the scale. On the other hand, you certainly don't want them to be over-recognized by you and other well-meaning entities that sometimes overindulge children who go through adversity. With this balance, siblings of children with special needs will become bigger, better, and stronger than you can imagine. Number 8, speaking of stronger, I'm going to end this discussion with a comment that my son made to me when he was 16 years old. At that time, my Rachi had gotten her first cochlear implant. For those of you who don't know, a cochlear implant is a surgically implanted device in the head, which replaces hearing cells in the cochlea with electrodes and restores a certain amount of hearing for individuals who are deaf. These surgeries became approved for clinical trial by the FDA in the mid-90s, and Rachi, who was 15 years old at the time, was finally approved for surgery. The journey for us to get this approval involved 2 very long years of tons of appointments, multiple trips all over the country, a lot of traveling, plenty of times that I wasn't home, 3 different surgeries, and multiple hospital stays. With it all, I did my absolute best to juggle my other children's needs while this was going on. The day finally came. 4 weeks after the first surgery, the implant was finally turned on. Remember, this was a 15-year-old who had never, ever heard anything in her life. Let's just say simply, it was very exciting and emotional. That night, when I was schmoozing with my other kids, I asked them this question. I know it's very exciting that Rachi is getting some sound now, and it will likely add a wonderful dimension to her life. But you all sacrificed a lot for this. Think of all the times you had to find your socks in the dryer, or you ate pizza for supper. Wouldn't you have rather that I be home? Maybe it wouldn't be so terrible if she didn't hear. Was it worth turning the whole house upside down? No, seriously, I continued, when they, of course, answered the predicted answer, of course, we want Rachi to hear. No, I said to them, I'm really asking you for the truth. What do you really think? And my son said, "No, Ma, honestly, I used to lie in bed at night and think that if something was chas v'shalom wrong with me, mommy would kill herself for me too." Listen to that answer and listen carefully. So remember, your children watch you very carefully. They see what you do and they take notes. So think of the opportunity that you have to introduce your children to vintage chesed in the highest form. Think of your children as having back seats in the audience, and on the stage is everything any Yiddish neshama should know about chesed and hashkafa and avodas Hashem and all the good things that go with it. How lucky we are. Other kids don't get this. May we be zeiche to appreciate the gift we have, even with the shvacha moments that are inherent along the way. And may you all be zeiche, as I was, to see the amazing products that emerge from siblings of children with special needs. Thanks for listening to my podcast. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I am the director of Hands Full, which is committed to the provision of community education in the area of behavior management and cognitive development of children. I look forward to hearing from you with any questions that you have. And remember, no matter how impossible things may seem, the Earth will continue rotating on its axis.